Shall we pray? Oh God, fill us with your Spirit and humble our hearts so that we can hear your word. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 13. I was going to let the children know, but I don't see any, that Philippi is actually in Greece. Sometimes kids don't know where these places are. So we can thank Greece and thank baklava while we're listening. And now the word of God. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The Word of God.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel as Luke recorded it, chapter 6. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. This is the word of God. For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In Lewis Carroll's famous book, Through the Looking Glass, Alice steps through the mirror to find herself in a world where everything is backwards. When she tries to go forward, she ends up back where she started. She tries to go left, and she ends up right. Going up sends her down, and running as fast as she can barely allows her to stay in one place. Paul explains in his letter this morning that the way the world really works and the way we should act as Christians is backwards from how we sometimes short-sightedly think the world works. To be blessed, you do need to be a blessing to others. To be loved, love other people. To be honored, first be humble. To truly live, die to yourself. To gain the unseen, let go of what you see. To receive anything, whether it is love or honor or grace or mercy. First, give it. To save your life, lose it. To lead, serve. To be first, be last. Paul tells his readers in Philippi and us that we need to have the attitude in yourselves which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus is God. Jesus is by rights entitled to worship and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Jesus chose to live a human life and not to exploit the power that he had as God. Jesus did use the power of God to do miracles. But did you notice? He did them all for the benefit of other people. The only time the Gospels mention him even thinking about using the power of God to do miracles on his own behalf is during his temptation in the desert, when he outright refuses. When Jesus became a human being, he did not even become a rich and powerful celebrity. He lived the life of an ordinary human being in a backwater province of the Roman Empire. He was not even a Roman citizen with the limited rights that they had. Jesus lived by the rules of being a politically powerless human being, even dying on the cross. Dying on a cross was not something that happened to respectable people. Dying on the cross was a barbaric, intentionally horrific way to die. People were nailed to the cross and left there to die of some combination of thirst, slow suffocation, and exposure to the elements. There were soldiers there, but they were just there to make sure nobody rescued one of the condemned or helped him to die more quickly. Dying with any kind of dignity was already out of the question, but quick would have been an improvement. Rich and respectable people did not die of crucifixion. Rich Romans, if they had to die, died quickly by poison or by the sword. Poor people died by crucifixion. Poor people and slaves and those who posed some kind of threat to the establishment. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, was not just killing people who were crucified. He was asserting Roman power and authority and dominance by publicly humiliating these people. They were stripped naked so that they looked small, not like a king at all. They were flogged, a punishment usually reserved for slaves. They would die in public, so everyone could see them, in literally excruciating pain. Everyone could hear them beg for water and then struggle for breath, becoming increasingly desperate over time. Everyone could see they had no power. Everyone could see they were losers. Everyone could see them broken. It was the ultimate in degradation. Jesus did not go from being properly recognized as God to being seen as human. He went from being properly recognized as God to being seen as the most degraded human being possible, barely recognizable as human. In a world where we're told that our goal in life should be upward mobility, Jesus chose extreme downward mobility. These things are not news. I'm not telling you things you don't know. I'm reminding you of things we've all heard so many times that they've started to become like the wallpaper. It's all around us, but we don't notice. A Greek or Roman deity, the ones that the people in Philippi would have been familiar with, might look like a human being for a day to play tricks, but the only consequences for their actions would come from other deities. He would never accept human consequences for his actions. It's unimaginable that Zeus would empty himself, taking the form of a slave. The whole point of a story like that would be Zeus's power to mess with humans and that humans couldn't do anything about it. Zeus was a deity worshipped by emperors and those who wanted to be like emperors. Worshipping Zeus was a religion for the so-called winners in this world, the people who have power and who use it to dominate all those around them. This was the way the Roman Empire worked. This is the way empires work in general, whether we're talking about Roman legions or the British East India Company or a multinational corporation today. The thing about this kind of power, though, is it's limited. No matter how much of this kind of dominating power you have, it always has a limit. Those who wield this kind of power are always insecure that someone might try to take their power from them. So they flaunt their power, trying to look more impressive than they are, to make sure no one challenges them. Jesus took the opposite approach. Jesus does not need to dominate all those around him. He's incredibly secure. He has so much power, so much authority, he doesn't have to flaunt it. He can be understated about it. He can choose to give up all external signs of his power and authority and live the life of a very ordinary human being. And he is still God. Human beings could do anything they liked to him, but they could not take that away from him. They could kill him, but he was resurrected. So, what does that mean for us? 2,000 years later, 5,000 miles away? It means that displays of our power and dominance and authority in this world do not really impress this God whom we worship. He is the rightful owner of all power and dominance and authority, and eventually every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It means that if we want to follow Jesus, we need to take our cue from Alice. The way up is down. Let me remind you of something you already know. God knows you better than you know yourself. And God still loves you. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus down here to live a human life, die, and be resurrected for you. God does not withhold love until you get good enough. God stoops to our level, scoops us up in all our messiness, like a mother picking up a toddler in the middle of the trashed room, and loves us. That is how we can be healed and saved. God works in ordinary people like us to change us and to make us into the extraordinary people he wants us to be. Nobody can take that away from you. No human being has the power to change that. Not your parents, not your children, not a pastor, not the church, not even you. You are a beloved child of God, whether anybody else likes it or not. You are a beloved child of God, whether you like it or not. That is something that still amazes me. Every time I think about it. So, now, if we want to live into that relationship with God who loves us that way, the way up is down. We have nothing to be insecure about. We have nothing to prove. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to be powerful. We don't have to be winners. We don't have to surround ourselves with people who are. We can be who we are. We can have the poor and the outcasts and the losers around us, the people who would never be welcome in the inner corridors of worldly power. Because you know what? That's where we'll find Jesus. When he walked the earth, not once did Jesus set foot in the imperial palace in Rome. The closest he got to centers of worldly power was when he was brought into Herod's palace and Pilate's house in Jerusalem as a prisoner. It's that downward mobility thing. When his disciples started arguing about who among them was the most important, he told them that the one who wanted to be first among them had to be last. That hasn't changed. When each of us dies and sees Christ, and I'm convinced we will, he won't want to talk with us about whether we were large and in charge, or whether we made everybody else around us do everything right. That's not the kind of person whom the Gospels show Jesus was. The discussion will be about how we lived and how we showed Christ's love to the people around us. Yeah, even those people, the ones we know are doing it wrong, whatever it is. So, your challenge for this week is not to make everyone around you live right. You're not going to succeed. And that's not the way Jesus did things. Your challenge for this week is to truly be kind to someone who can't do anything to pay you back. Someone who does not have the power to help you. Because the way up is down. Amen.